啊，让人占据人民经营啊，学的天天上当中，他上，然后人到那，今天的那些吃上当啊，这个生什么拿来搞来搞的，用玉米什么。你牙牙的卡的多啊，卡的三六一幺啊七呢？你三六牙牙的，我都必须当的当活的，第一第一主要距离在的，我都是先去过了。
Good morning. So last night we just started to look at this marvelous text, the middle length exposition on the stages of the path to enlightenment. And amongst what we looked at last night, the advice that we've been presented is to look at our mind.And divide at the classes of minds into two, those that bring happiness and those that bring suffering. And those that bring happiness are the wholesome, virtuous minds. And it's through cultivating, strengthening these, strengthening our habituation to them, that happiness is achieved. The title of the text explicitly states that this is the middle length explanation of the stages to enlightenment. And as mentioned last night, the varying texts of the Lamrim tradition are all composed in a similar way in terms of dividing the stages of training in accordance with the graduated stages that a practitioner needs to sequentially progress in order to achieve the exalted goal of enlightenment.So what makes this particular text middling in length is the number of quotations and detail presented, but what the topics that are covered are the same as in other Lamrim texts. Moreover, we looked last night at what is meant by these three types of beings, those of initial capacity, intermediate capacity, and great capacity. And what differentiates them is the broadness of their mind,which enables them to strive for ever greater goal. So the practitioner of initial capacity, they have a determination in everything they do that they will only create causes for good rebirth and not create causes that will lead to falling into the lower realms. This is at the forefront of their motivation behind everything that they do. A practitioner of intermediate capacity has a far broader outlook.They have come to recognize that samsara itself is pervaded by suffering, and they've given rise to a determination to definitely emerge from the suffering realms of samsara in its entirety to gain liberation, freedom from the suffering realms of samsara. So they have at the forefront of their motivation behind everything they do, the determination to only accumulate causes that do lead to liberation. The practitioner of greatest capacity,has already given rise to both of those, the realizations that come about in dependence on the prior trainings of the practitioner of initial intermediate capacity. But they have come to recognize that their wish to be freed of suffering of samsara in its entirety, is shared by each and every being, whether individual beings have come to recognize that yet or not.And moreover, it's not only that they have understood that all beings long for freedom, but in particular, they see it as their responsibility to help all beings attain their own individual freedom. The practitioner of greatest capacity considers it unacceptable that they strive solely for their own welfare and not placing the welfare, the benefit, the happiness of others first and foremost. So they generate the determination, I take as my personal responsibility the welfare, the happiness of others. I take it as my responsibility to ensure that they achieve a state freed of suffering in its entirety. And to do that, I have to become a Buddha. So this is the attitude of a practitioner of greatest capacity or supreme capacity. And we see with them, as we look at the expanse of the beings of three varying scopes, that they have the widest, most expansive mind and a mind with a far-sighted outlook. And this is what differentiates the three types of beings. And we also saw last night that the vast majority of beings, the vast majority, do not fall into any of these categories. They just go about their life doing their things, not concerned with anything beyond the sufferings of this life. They are concerned with overcoming mundane problems, achieving worldly happiness, nothing beyond the immediate experiences of this life. So they are not yet even included within the category of beings of initial capacity. Then what is the subject matter of this text? We present the varying stages of training that a practitioner embarks on to train their mind so as to develop the genuine motivation of the initial class of practitioner, thereafter the intermediate class, thereafter the greatest class. So the text presents the correct, complete and unmistaken stages of training that one embarks on from the initial right up to the greatest level of capacity, developing first the determination to gain freedom from rebirth in the lower realms, developing this to the determination to gain freedom from samsara in its entirety, developing that further to developing the determination to become a Buddha for the sake of others. So the text presents these levels of training in the correct sequence, and based on this knowledge that one gains, one embarks on a process of meditation, which is where one integrates the knowledge within one's way of thinking, so that it becomes one becomes habituated to this way of thinking. In other words, these motivations become second nature to one. They become genuine to one. It is what one genuinely strives for. So last night, after the introduction, we just started with the text, first looking at the homage, and thereafter at the salutation, we looked at the very first line, Blessed One, Lord of this endurance world, where homage salutation is offered to the qualities of body, speech, and mind of the Buddha. Coming to the second line then, Buddha's regent, Maitreya, Lord of the Dharma.
Jisun jemba kumbala, ね、カソシュよれじれ、ヒュディね、カデンセアでるシュよれじれ、ヒュウィスミンテラカデンレゴルテルシュよれじれ。ディディ、ヒュウカデンセアディルハディジディ、タラマジェボナシチシュスンカジェボシュよれす。ジェザダン、ディネゲ、ディカソデリア、ミンガラゴルスネ、セングルヘイブ、ダンバトカルボレゴル、ヘイブ。ダンバトカルボ。ダンバトカルボ。
カルボレゴレ、ミンディレ、まだ、ダンダイマシナディグロワ、ダンダイミンガラオセ、ダンバトアヘイブ、セルコランナージュワジ、ディオゾルゲディイグチュレジュラハレディロワ、ヘイブ、ダンバトアカルボス、ラゴレシ。チザダディ、ディネギ、ディトンバシゲトゥベ、マーツムリリア、チョコトゥベ、ナンバトエンギ、ジュシュマレヨドゥ、ディネ、ジェジャバジャンバコンボ、パーチ、ディネシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシュシ
So looking at the second line, Buddha's regent, Maitreya, Lord of the Dharma. So why is Maitreya referred to as Buddha's regent? So when Buddha Shakyamuni came to our world, he came from the pure land of Dushita or Ganden. He came to our world from there when all the appropriate causes and conditions had been accumulated that enabled a wheel-turning Buddha to appear in our world. And so when he came to this world, who then was the primary teacher of the Dharma in this pure land or this God realm? It was Maitreya. So in this way, Buddha, who was like the king of this pure land or this heavenly abode, when he came to our world, then Maitreya was his representative or his regent in that world, and he continued to be the primary teacher of the Dharma.
Mm-hmm.
Being a representative or regent, his teaching and his guidance was no different from that of what Shakyamuni had presented previously in the heavenly abode of Tushita. And in the future, when the causes and conditions are again accumulated, that in this world there is the merit and the required conditions for a wheel-turning Buddha to appear, then Maitreya will come from the pure land and or from the heavenly abode and will turn the wheel of Dharma newly in our world. So this is why on the iconography, I'm just seeing if there's maybe a statue here somewhere. There's a small one here behind the white stupa. Maitreya is presented as sitting in the Western style, sitting on a throne with his legs extended. And this iconography represents that he is ready to stand up and enter into our world.
Then, 대시 군기 예직 전배 양 세대다지 지진 전배 양이야 쳐봐 쳐봐래.
The third line, Manjugosha, sole father of those gone to bliss. Manjugosha is another term for Manjushri.
That deshe la du ngaje dewa sedi dewa sedi jidang ngaje ge ji dewa la an chwa dewa ta dunga ka dewa ta ne ta ji chwa dewa sa ji murwa jidang ngaje lu dewa sem dewa sa da na nga ji yung re ine da ka bir dewa sedi leg ba tamje nyogyo gyen tamje dan jewi ge leg ba leg me cha de le dewa la gore gyen tamje dan da di ga re sna sangi re sangi de 上级也了
Our third line ends with gone to bliss, and we see in bracket Sugata. So the English translation of the Sanskrit Sugata is gone to bliss. So this comprises of two syllables in Tibetan, de and shek. So dewa is usually translated as bliss, or in other contexts can be happiness or comfort. So the meaning is when we talk about happiness or bliss, we would normally think of, well, there's physical happiness or bliss that arises from the body, or mental happiness and bliss that arises from, solely from the mind. But here the meaning isn't what we'd normally associate with happiness or bliss, but it's actually a different word, a Tibetan lepa, which we know as goodness. So for example, definite goodness. The meaning then of bliss here is more that of goodness, having achieved this state freed of faults. So again, this doesn't seem to match so closely to our English language, but nevertheless, the word we have translated as bliss means the same as a different Tibetan word, which is usually translated as goodness, and the meaning of goodness is a state completely freed of faults. And a being who has achieved complete freedom of faults is a Buddha, where all the afflictions, together with their seeds and imprints, have been entirely eradicated. So the meaning of the word bliss here is actually goodness, and it means completely freed of faults. And the second term, that of gone to or gone beyond, so this is where referring to the good qualities have all been developed in the mind of this being to the level of perfection. It's not like all of us, we have a few good qualities or a number of good qualities, but they are not so well developed. A Buddha has developed each and every good quality of the mind to the level of perfection. So that's the meaning of the second syllable, that of shekpa, gone to bliss or sugata. Further, the second syllable in De Shek, Sugata, that we have translated as gone to, It can also be translated as to arrive or reach. So it has both the meaning of to come as well as to go. And depending on the context, one would understand it. So for example, it's an honorific word, and it could be used when one's lama passes from this world. So one could say he has gone to a pure land, or he has arrived at a pure land. And one would use the same word, shepa, to indicate either going to or having reached or arrived at his destination of a pure land. But again, in this context, it refers to gone to goodness or arrived at, attained, reached goodness. This then is the meaning of sukata, gone to bliss. And who is striving to go to bliss? Who is striving to reach the state of goodness? These are the bodhisattvas. And it's the bodhisattvas who do eventually reach the state. All the sugatas were once bodhisattvas striving to attain the state of having gone to bliss. So here it's mentioned specifically with the understanding that it's bodhisattvas who are striving for and who do attain the state of Buddhahood, the state of a sugata.
Adine Kunji Yapchik Sid Kunji Yapchik Chambe Yangs. Chisada Kunji Yapchik Chambe Yangs, Chanju Samba Kunji Yapchik Chambe Yang, Kunji Yapchik Chambe Yang, Kunji Ladu, Chanju Simbi Yamlin, Sanji Kofan, Diawa Shaba, Sanji Kofan, Token, Samagi Lago, Samagi Yapres, or by Chambe Yang, Yapres, Kunji Yapchik Yam Chipures, Yapchipures, or Yapchik Chambe Yang. Shepa said, Deshek said, Janju Simpig, Lam Yamlinjin, Dewa, Tarit, Dingi, Dewa, and the Tarduk Delia, Droyad, Droyagi, Johan Samagi, Yap Jes, Jinjambe, the Yap Jibures, or. Oh dear. That he didn't know what Yap Jes, that he Yap Yap Lagu, Jim, that is yes, 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 Tishinshe, Lam Janjusimbe, Lam Yamlinchin, Sanjo Kobon, Toya, Token, Sangmagi, and Jizun Jambe and Yabriyes Orda.
Furthermore, in this line, Manjugosha, or Manjushri, is the sole father of all those who have attained the state of enlightenment or gone to bliss. And here, just to mention the word that is used here for father is again an honorific word, just like the word for gone to was also an honorific word and refers here to Manjushri.
Nikia Merwa, Chatanga Pala Latina, Amad Pala Latine, Pama Latine, Jigu, Yuanza Puja, the Diu, Mena, the Unimesa, Tela, Tine, Ungor, Tela, and Jimmy Timogorwa, Dinashi, Taiko Yap, Sidu, Tenigi, Sanji, Yuba, Tobala, Injim, Minji, Jembe Yang, Givishin, Jabala, Timogri, Chizin Jembe Yang, Lama Givishin, Tinche, and the Sanji Kuma to Mother Chizin Jembe Yang, Shin, Matempa.
The reason for using a term such as father here is we recognize that to have children, one requires there to be a father. One has to rely on a father for there to be children. Here, it's referring to those who are the children of the Buddhas, those who are striving to become, who are bodhisattvas and are striving to become Buddhas. They need to rely on their spiritual teacher, who is Manjushri. And this is the training that all the sugatas, the style of training that all sugatas went through whilst they were bodhisattvas, whilst they were included amongst the children of the Buddhas. They relied on their teachers Manjushri, and in this way they were able to attain the state of enlightenment.
And in this, then, Jizhen Chenpe, in this, 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 지난 지진 젬베야디 주규 넘버샤디 가르라네 거기 넘버샤와르네 상기 유기 셰럽기 동방이 또 베게 셰럽기 셰럽디 아니 고 모 아니 셰럽제 아니 넘버 파 주규 넘버샤디 인 지진 젬베게 넘버샤고 레제 지네 인자다 모 셰럽 인자 아니 상기 고마 토발라 아니 파신 중에 셰럽게 파신 염소 렌제 상기 고마 토도마도 최탐제 라신이 마주보 또 비기 동방이 또 비기 셰럽대 냠수 내내 검발했던 동이 또만 산요고마 토마도 이 냠수 말림바 산요고마 토에 메러와 메바서 인지 이미지 산요고마 토발라 아니 동방이 또 비기 셰럽 냠는 제네 산요고마 토고 그래 제자 제자 되니 동방이 또 비기 셰럽 냠내지 토고 원자 니기 다 죽은 넘버 셰벨라 한지 제배야
In the English, we can actually insert one word that was missed. It's not so important, but nevertheless, Manjugosha, sole father of all those gone to bliss. So, of all those gone to bliss. So this indicates that all the Sugatas, without exception, necessarily relied on their spiritual teacher as Manjushri. So how should we understand this deity, Manjushri? We know we have an image of Manjushri. At certain times, one will visualize Manjushri. Perhaps some developed practitioners will attain visions of Manjushri. But how to understand this deity Manjushri is that the wisdom of all the Buddhas, when it appears in form, appears in the form of Manjushri. The nature of Manjushri is the wisdom of the Buddhas. But when that nature arises in a form, that form is of Manjushri. And in order to attain enlightenment, it's indispensable that one engages in the trainings of the perfection of wisdom, cultivating one's wisdom eventually to the point of perfection when one attains Buddhahood. So therefore, one relies in one's process of training on the wisdom of the Buddhas. And the wisdom of the Buddhas, when it arises as form, we would encounter it in the aspect of Manjushri. So this then is how to relate to a deity such as Manjushri.
And is that you just jump in a chubachubache? That in it, in my Jewe Lunde Luruk Tome last, could be doing this, did that? In Jewe Lunde Luruk Tome last, the Papa Tometa, Gomolurvilia, and Chubachubache.
Then concluding the salutation, Nagarjuna and Asanga, foretold by the victor, bowing to you with respect.
Mongo bana, Tome said, Yungre, and the Nas Nyangale debut, that Gombulu Sangi, my Nyangale no Gombo Sosi Vichella, Lushipia, Rodu, and Gombulu said Yungre, Chizan Digi, and Tamatavi Namsha, Tikepa, and Gabra Chumelam, Gabra Chigre said, and the Tine, Chige, Ma. kumbhat nyangal nebhi ku lo gubhya ki chedila ane thongme se likiri kuyo ane gyachiga lamji rinbi kuwaliya ane sawa chigiri sayadi sanyu chumne le kurongi lung dian shen pari ase cheta lung gyabhi lung dian se gyawa se sanyu chumne de lung dian se ane lung dian pari suzu lung dian pari se lujut na thongme se de yungri ase de pa sanyu lung dian pari ase gyachiga lamji rinba
The vector, Buddha Shakyamuni, he foretold or prophesied that after 400 years after his passing, Nagarjuna would appear in this world, and he would illuminate the profound path of the middle way. And Shakyamuni, the vector, also prophesied that 900 years after his passing, then a Sangha would appear in this world, and he would illuminate the vast paths of bodhisattvas, the method paths of bodhisattvas.
An ene za dene ge lung den bi ge ane gombo lur da pa pa thame sele an chaba chaba re si da ta gombo lur gi ge ane samba ta wi ge zo ji da ja chi ba lam yi ri ma sung go de zo samba ta wi ge dong ba yi go zhen an du xin de sung ya da ane ji zhen jian bei ya ji zhen jian bei de ju ben ma ji a zhe ge cuo xian sa de du ge de ji zhen jian bei ya de ne Tawiki rinpa namsha, siyate kumbu lurita arayate wala sopa jisri chambe yang kwal bhaasha. Tene, yawa jamba ki tenju ngudu kiyan parshin kasuru parudu chimbe lamji namsha sawa chayabara. Tene da, niki kumbu papa tome ki jisri chambe yang ngusu shiyasi. Tisa ne, ngusu sen chayang zambulin ma, ane jashiga lamji rinpa di ma sunga yinza. Ane, kunyi, da, dusune, Sungorwa, the name that Lung Tempada, Mazuya, Pemasi, Jinchimbota, Kitin Chimbu, Shuri, Sungora, the name that Delia, and the Chava Chuki is over.
So it's very common for a practitioner at the outset of an activity to make supplications to the great lineage of beings who have come before them and have kept the teachings of the Buddha alive and vibrant in our world. So on the side of wisdom, we have the lineage of from Manjushri through Nagarjuna to Aryadeva and right through to the present day. And a great master like Nagarjuna, whilst he's primarily known for having illuminated the profound path of the middle way, he certainly also taught the vast path as well, but what he is primarily recognized is for having taught the middle way paths. Then on the other side, the trainings of the bodhisattva, there the lineage is coming from also from the Buddha, as with those from Manjushri, but through Maitreya. And these are the teachings of the vast conduct of the bodhisattvas. And this lineage from the Buddha through Maitreya to Asanga and so forth is the second part of these two, of wisdom and method, where we turn for inspiration and for creating merit by generating respect in our mind towards them. Kulung The reason that one will make supplications or generate aspiration towards these two lineages of great beings, and one will engage in practice, one will visualize these two lineages, is because after Buddha Shakyamuni died, the precious Mahayana became very hidden in our world. In fact, it could be said that it disappeared from our world because it was practiced only in a hidden manner. But, as prophesied by the Buddha, 400 years later, and again 900 years after his passing, first Nagarjuna and then a Sangha appeared in our world. And they, once again, brought the Mahayana into our world in a way that was vibrant and alive, no longer practiced just in a hidden manner, in a secret manner, but was once again practiced in a vibrant way. Nagarjuna brought in particular the middle way teachings back into the forefront in our world, and Asanga the other Mahayana tenets, that of the Chittamachans, or the mind only. So together, over this expanse of time, they reinvigorated, brought, you could almost say brought back to life, the Mahayana in our world. So when we make supplications, we recognize the great kindness and benefit that they have brought to our world, as well as the entire lineage of incredible masters from ancient India through to Tibet, who have kept these lineages alive and vibrant. And it's because of the endeavors of so many great beings that now we too can, in this life, connect with these lineages and strive to develop the qualities of those teachings within our own continuum.
And then in again, the good in the city, the good people, and Kushepchik, yes, good in the city, and then there's that, the Niki Chuba Chene, and the Karchigres, and that the Tumber Tamjas, or me, the Nishiva Tungi, said Tamjas, or Sambo Tata, Jason Chibi, Lam, Jimba, Dela Nitu, Chushir, Raya, Nitu, Suji, in the Shepherd Jas, and the Niki, ya, Sanjay Chum, then Teta.
The salutation concludes with bowing and paying of respect. Thereafter, so in our English we have it all together, but thereafter comes the next part of the introduction, which is that of the promise of composition, the heartfelt promise that the author of the text, Lama Tsongkhapa, makes. I will here explain once more, in a summary fashion, the stages of the path of profound view and vast conduct, for the sake of making them easy to access or engage in. So this is the promise that the author makes, where he says, in accordance with this, the unmistaken teachings of Buddha Shakyamuni that have been kept alive and vibrant by the lineages of Nagarjuna and Asanga, I will present both the profound lineages as well as the vast lineages in a way that students can access, that they can understand and put into training. Just to be clear, what is meant by the path of profound view, this refers to cultivating the wisdom that realizes emptiness. So the object is reality or emptiness, and the wisdom that realizes it. So this is what is referred to or meant by the path of profound view. And then the path of vast conduct. This refers to all the other practices of great beings. So we can think of the other five perfections, such as generosity, ethical restraint, joyous patience, joyous perseverance, and concentration, as well as all the other practices that practitioners of the various lineages engage in order to achieve their goals.
Namje rimba labde da rimba tangbo di kombo re ni ba di kom su ba di ko re se kwa ti ni kombo re tangbo di rimba di nyamne rimba di si ro da rimba labde.
And the word we have translated as stage, this is or stages, this is also can be translated as levels, or we see it in sometimes as graduated. So what it refers to is the graduated or the stages or the levels that one engages in to train one's mind. So there's the correct sequence of training that one builds one's spiritual development on, starting at the first, developing into the second, developing into the third. These are the stages of the path, or the levels, or the graduation that one engages in. Just before I come to what Genla said, just as the translator to mention, when we see here the stages of the path, so that is the term lamrum that you will have heard many times. So here we see it's translated stages of the path, and that refers to this style of teachings that we are looking at here. So now to come to what Genla is saying. Everything that is going to be presented in this text is in accordance with this lineage of teachings that start with Buddha Shakyamuni and down through Manjushri and Dagarjuna and so forth, and down through Maitreya and Asanga and so forth to the present day. So one may well then wonder, so these, if the sutras are the teachings of the Buddha, encompassed all the teachings of the vast lineage as well as the profound lineage, what is the purpose of writing a book like this? Because if this book is just presenting what has already been taught before, why is it even needed? So here Lama Tsongkhapa makes it clear in his same promise of composition that he's going to present these in an abbreviated manner or summary fashion, so that those who have limited time or limited capacity, they can come to understand the vast and profound paths that are taught in so many sutras in a way that is condensed and combined in the correct sequence. Moreover, it will be presented in a way that is easy to access. Then again, as the translator to say this word access, we had on Wednesday night, there it was translated as in the title of the text as engage. So we could translate this as making them easy to engage with or enter into or access.
Dane dini ge samba tayu rinpa dan jechi we lamji rinpa di ane dini ge ane lamrim chenpa na la yara chong song sa rwa da juwa tanga ni ngosu juwa tanga da yomar da dini ge samsun na yonsi wa rwa jiza lamrim chenpa na la pa song sa rwa jiza 다디 디기 따위 람미 람미 림바다 제시위 람미 림베 냠리 림바디 림린 침바나 소 림린 침바라 때네 아니 냠네 제네 디기 도와스 아니 림린 디기 송과스 카이미 도와스 베게다 데네기 도과 용시기로 아
And some may well have the thought, I understand what's being said here, but Lama Tsongkhapa, before he composed the middling lamrim, he composed the great lamrim, the lamrim chemel. So if he composed this great lamrim text, what purpose is there, what need is there for a middling text of middling length when he's already said all that is going to come here, but in a more expansive way?
Lama
Tsongkhapa, anticipating this doubt, addressed it in his promise of composition. So for us in English, it's at the beginning. I will here explain once more. So once more, it's an acknowledgement that he, Lama Tsongkhapa, has already composed a great text on this topic, and now he's doing so again. So that great text was the Lamrim Chemel, the great Lamrim, and now he's composing an abbreviated Lamrim, the middling Lamrim. And the reason for doing so is, as it continues in a summary fashion, and it ends with easy to access. So he's composing this abbreviated Lamrim for those who have a deep interest, a strong yearning to transform their minds, but their time is limited. When one compares the size of this text to the Lamrim Chemel, it's three volumes, one can see that this one is abbreviated, it is condensed. So therefore, it is more accessible for those who have a strong yearning to develop their minds, but for whom time is limited. For those for whom looking at a text such as this, and they see the size of it, the many hundreds of pages, and they feel an apprehension, this is too much. I really can't commit the time and effort that's required. Lama Tsongkhapa also later composed a short lamrim, which is also often called the Song of Spiritual Experience. So that in perhaps maybe 60 verses, he covers all of the stages for training our mind, all the stages that we need to put into practice so as to attain enlightenment. And the reason then for composing this very short lamrim, this middling lamrim, and then the greatest one, is that beings have different capacities, different needs. some aspire aspire to engage in vast texts, coming to know a topic in great detail. Others look at that with apprehension and want something of a shorter version. So therefore, so as to be able to benefit the vast array of beings, Lama Tsongkhapa composed these three principal Lamrim texts, the great, the middling, and the very short.
Member to never lament here, member for longer knowledge in the Tigo Marese. Demand the Yahoo Shurikon Sakuris in it, knowledge in Tigo Mares, Chile, May Yahoo, Chile, Catalytic Tigors in it, never ma dunche, never a dish, when Nedelia, men did an yasa or something, never ma dungy dungy, Nedel dungy dungy men Tigoris, Mado, demand the Yahoo disaurus in the Tigo Mares. Jadi member ni, member ni, level ni, member ni, member korang ni, adi yang pula di bawah pinggir ni, jigo mah ramah tuan jigo, level ni, level tuh tuh tuh, kalau panjang ya, level ni lah, kalau panjang tu cek tu, level tuh tuh tuh, jigo lah, ya.
If a new wonder drug comes out on the market, medical practitioners will be perhaps very inspired and excited about this new drug that can cure many ailments. But even if they are really keen to help beings, they cannot just give this drug to everyone that they, every patient they meet, because they will know they need to investigate the patient, come to know their situation, and then give to them what is most appropriate. And if their illness isn't one that corresponds to this new wonder drug, it would be a mistake to give it to them. It would not serve the doctor's desired preference, which is for the suffering patient to heal. So therefore, a doctor will want at her disposal a wide array of medications that she can utilize in dependence on prior investigation, examination of the patient, and then give what is most suitable. So that is similar here.
And
in fact, no matter which master one thinks of, whether Buddha Shakyamuni or any of the great beings that have abided in our world, all of them can need to utilize or go through the same process. They do not have the freedom to interact with others in the way of their choosing. They have to rather style their interaction in a way that will meet the individual disposition and inclination of the beings before them. So driven by a motivation to ease the suffering, driven by a motivation to be of lasting benefit to those before them, then the great teachers will match what they give to their students in accordance with the complexities of that person's individual karmic background and individual spiritual disposition. So just like a doctor will come to know a patient, examine them, and then prescribe a medical treatment that they will benefit their patient and the patient is likely to engage with in a positive way. So the Buddha and all the great teachers, we can liken here to the doctor, and the medicine that they prescribe is that of the Buddha Dharma, the teachings. and what the teachings that this this medicine is prescribed to do is to heal our mind, to transform our mind through providing information that is relevant to us and we are inclined to adopt, to integrate through reflection and meditation. When I was younger in the monastery, gaining teachings from my spiritual teachers, we would regularly be advised, you need to hear these teachings, integrate them, take them as personal advice, whatever the topic, and when inspiration arises in you, follow that, but always watch your mind and ensure that you don't push too much. And when you see in your mind you're becoming a little tired or a little uptight, a little stressed, recognize this, step back and relax. Maybe have a nap, maybe go for a walk, maybe have some exercise. And then when your mind is calm and spacious and ready to engage again, then stop the fun activity and return to your studies. So what we are encouraged to do is not to push too far, but to live in a balanced way. When inspiration arises, follow that. But also, when tension arises, be aware and then step back and relax. Now, our conditions back then in South India were not like we have here. When it was hot, it was just hot. There were no fans. There was certainly, this was before the time of air conditioning. So when it was hot, it was just hot. And our teacher could see if his students before him had the energy to engage or if they were just exhausted. And so sometimes he would just tell stories, make us laugh and relax. And then we'd be invigorated and ready to move forward. And moreover, he'd recognize that people have differing levels of capacity and strength to persevere. And he would guide us to proceed in accordance with our own spiritual dispositions and inclinations. And all this said, I should mark myself as being not like these great masters of the past and Buddha Shakyamuni and the entire lineage, because they have no freedom. They are forced by their compassion and wisdom to give to others exactly what they need. I'm not like them. I have freedom. I cannot tell what you all individually need, so I give what I think is useful. So I'm quite different from them in that way. I have freedom. They don't.
Di
We've looked at the homage, retaliation, and the promise of composition. So what is the purpose of this text that Lama Tsongkhapa has promised to compose? So the purpose of this text is to impart knowledge that presents the complete sequence of trainings for suffering beings to engage in at whatever level they are, so as to develop the qualities of mind that are required sequentially, so in order to be able to progress to a state beyond suffering, a state of freedom, a state where no more pain and misery arises, but lasting, stable happiness of enlightenment is achieved. So this is Lama Tsongkhapa's motivation. The purpose for this text is to give the foundation for students to have the required knowledge, and whilst acquiring the knowledge, the hearing, to engage in reflection and later meditation. And in this process, transform their minds as students to develop themselves, to transform their minds. Before embarking on the main part of the text, we come now to the preliminaries. So the preliminary teaching is what the text will now present. So when we ask ourselves, what is it that is going to be presented here? Lama Tsongkhapa says, the text Lamp on the Path, the meaning that is contained in there, I'm going to expand on that. That is the teaching that I'm going to be giving here. So this then is presented in the first paragraph on our first page. The Dharma to be presented here explains how the fortunate are led to the level of Buddhahood through the stages of the path to enlightenment. It summarizes all the points of the Victor's scriptures, follows the tradition of the two great trailblazers, Nagarjuna and Asanga, constitutes the Dharma system of supreme beings who progress to the level of omniscience, and contains without omission all the stages to be practiced by the three types of persons.
So
In our modern world, when we in a bookshop, when they were still around, and we read the back cover, it would present in a paragraph what the book contains. And it would be written in a style so as to generate enthusiasm in the reader so that they'd want to engage with the contents of the book. So in ancient times, books were not published in this way. But this paragraph here, the one that I've just read, this serves the same purpose of presenting what is going to be presented in this text so as to give rise to enthusiasm in the mind of the reader to want to discover what lies ahead and to integrate that within their own mind. So in our English, the first sentence is at the last sentence in this paragraph in the Tibetan. So the Tibetan starts with, it summarizes all the points of the victor's scriptures. In other words, the victor being the Buddha, all the sutras, all the teachings that the Buddha gave, these are summarized here in this text. This text presents a compendium of all the sutras, but presented in a systematic and summarized manner.
That is, Shin Da Chenpo Luru Dang Tome Yige Lamsul Sida. Chisanda, Dinadi, and Da, Ni Duba Inna, Sui Sheva Na Shinji, Yore Labdu, Shin Da Chenpo Luru Dang Tome Yige Sheva Na Shinji. Luru Gi, Dewe Nam Shati Pa Sawa, Tome Yige, and Papa Tome Yige, and Jachiwe Lam Yirin Badi Pa Susa.
Summarizes all the points of the victor's scriptures, follows the tradition of the two great trailblazers, Nagarjuna and Asanga. So here too, Lama Tsongkhapa is stating, I may be writing this text, but this isn't a new creation, in that what I'm presenting here is a summation of what the Buddha taught, as well as what was re-energized by the great masters of Nagarjuna and Asanga. So here too, we'll find the profound path, or the profound paths as presented by Nagarjuna, and the vast paths as presented by Asanga. So what I'm composing is not something different from what has been written before. I'm just bringing it together in a particular way. So here, Lama Tsongkhapa is also mentioning the names of these great masters in the lineage, Buddha Shakyamuni, Nagarjuna, and Asanga, so as to give rise to confidence in his audience that what is going to be presented in this text is reliable, and give his audience reason to generate enthusiasm to engage in this text in its entirety.
Number dina lamzhe nana nghe shiayegi chwe di nalwa ya gombo luru da tome yi lamso di karela na namba tamshik jimbe sar joba jimbe sanjyo koba tobi chirdo lam nyamne ki jimbe ki chwe lu diri es.
It summarizes all the points of the Victor's scriptures, follows the tradition of the two great trailblazers, Nagarjuna and Asanga, constitutes the Dharma system of supreme beings who progress to the level of omniscience. So here too, we recognize that Lama Tsongkhapa is writing in accordance with the tradition of Nagarjuna and Asanga, the two great trailblazers of the Mahayana. So this is a text of training, a training manual for those who aspire to become bodhisattvas and to develop their bodhisattva paths and grounds in their continuum to the point of perfection, to become Buddhas. This, therefore, is a text of the Mahayana Dharma. So when we see here, constitutes the Dharma system of supreme beings, we understand that this refers to bodhisattvas. Therefore, this is a text of the Mahayana. Supreme beings who progress to the level of omniscience. So those who are striving to become Buddhas. And the sentence concludes with, and contains without omission all the stages to be practiced by the three types of persons. So here Lama Tsongkhapa is making clear that this is a compendium of all the trainings practitioners need to engage in order to attain omniscience. It's not limited to just the trainings that are unique to the Mahayana, but it includes those trainings which are common with practitioners of the solitary realizer and hero lineages. So there, let me restate that. So here, what Lama Tsongkhapa is saying is that this text doesn't only include the practices of those who aspire solely for the paths of the Mahayana and to progress along the paths of the Mahayana. So those are the practitioners of greatest capacity, the supreme practitioners, but also the prior trainings, which are those of that are shared with practitioners of initial capacity and intermediate capacity. So whilst the focus of the text is on the practices that are unique to the practitioners of greatest capacity, the bodhisattvas, the foundational trainings of practices of a practitioner of initial and middling capacity are also included here.
On the Nizada, Janju Lemji Jimbi Gone, Gawa the Demba, Sanji Yeser Chibiki, Tsuni, said, and then Jesa, that Janju Lemji Zimba, said, Janju Simbi Lam Yam Jimba, Demba di, that the Niki also di Mahashe, Dinam Nichabal, Wombrolia, give Chung Lemji Jimba, Dan, give Chung Tumor, give Chung the Tumor Lemji Jimba, give Chung the Tumor Lemji Jimba, Lot Changu Gone, and also Zodi.
Paragraph concludes with what we have as the first sentence. The Dharma to be presented here explains how the fortunate are led to the level of Buddhahood through the stages of the path to enlightenment. So now it's very clear what is going to be presented in this text. For those who are fortunate, or for those who have an aspiration to transform their mind, to become a being that can bring great benefits into this world, they have developed an aspiration to engage in the Dharma, to deepen and integrate the Dharma into their mind stream, and thereby attain the paths of bodhisattvas and progress further through all the paths and grounds and attain enlightenment itself. So therefore, practitioners who have this great fortune, who aspire to develop all the stages of the path to enlightenment, for them this text is composed. When we read this paragraph, we can imagine people asking Lama Tsongkhapa, what are you doing? What is this text you are composing? What is the purpose of this text? What is to be contained in here? And here is the reply to such a question. Here the complete stages of training are presented for those who have the aspiration to transform themselves, to radically transform themselves and fulfill their human potential. And these stages of training are not something that he has made up, but they are in accordance with all the sutras of the Buddha, presented in a summary form, and they are in accordance with the Mahayana teachings of Nagarjuna and Asanga. So now, just from this paragraph, it becomes very clear what lies ahead in this text. The purpose of covering the material in these preliminaries is for us as students to generate great joy in our mind and enthusiasm at our good fortune, recognize our good fortune and develop an enthusiasm for what will follow in the subsequent chapters. This enthusiasm is required so that we can keep our mind in the direction of what is being presented here, through generating the enthusiasm that comes from recognizing that all the trainings that are required for me to transform my mind, to create the causes to ensure that I don't fall into the low realms, and that I progress towards and eventually attain liberation and enlightenment, all are here. That my desire, my yearning for happiness, a mind that is at peace, all the causes that need to be accumulated, the mental transformation that is required, the whole technique is laid out before me here. And this I can have confidence in. It's not something that someone has made up. It's not something that has been claimed by someone, I have found something new, follow me. But rather, the author is making it very clear. This is a representation of the technique that has been proven again and again to be effective. The teachings of the sutras, as well as the re-energizing of the Mahayana by Nagarjuna and Asanga. This text is a representation of what has come before. It's nothing new. So therefore, you can have confidence in it. Again, to understand the purpose of this part of the text, these preliminaries, we can think of an illustration from our everyday life. So, some years ago, maybe 15 years ago, we started to see advertisements for something completely new, something that hadn't been experienced in our world yet, the iPhone. And most people had no idea what this is, but they watched the advertisements on television and saw them in the paper. And what was being said about the iPhone would have been emphasizing its benefits. If you have this, you'll look like a certain kind of person. You'll be able to do all these remarkable things, all from the palm of your hand. So what the marketers were showing is the tremendous benefits that this particular item brings. And in dependence on people seeing the great benefits that would be brought, as well as seeing, oh, this was made by a company with a great reputation for quality, for not deceiving their customers. People overcame their resistance to investing a lot of money into buying something they had never experienced before, they hadn't really experienced the benefits of. So we taking that analogy, so too is we can come to understand the purpose of this part of this text, these many pages that will follow, is for us to generate again and again this strong yearning to apply ourselves to the trainings that will be presented later, not to merely hear the words, but to integrate them within ourselves, having confidence that what is to be presented is unmistaken. And we have confidence because this text is a summation of all the teachings by Buddha Shakyamuni, all his sutras, as well as the trailblazers of the Mahayana, Nagarjuna and Asanga. We recognize that this is, in a sense, a continuation of Buddha's prophecy that these great beings would bring the Mahayana back to the forefront in our world, and the lineage of his Mahayana teachings would continue through them, and we recognize they have to this day. So we, through this text, can join with this remarkable lineage of great beings, And through our enthusiasm we're generating now, we can then apply ourselves to the trainings that are presented here. And this means turning away from our current distractions, our current mundane affairs, and focusing our mind on what is important, realigning our values and focus on what we do hold to be of great value, and invest our time and our energy into the process of mental transformation. Now we've looked at four sections in the text. So just to say, the English has removed many of these sub-outlines, but there are four that have been covered. We had the homage at the very beginning, then that long verse was the salutation, and in the middle it became the promise of composition, so that's three. And what has we've just looked at then is the purpose of the text. The way to relate to Dharma teachings such as this is to imagine that it's the author, Lama Tsongkhapa, himself directly saying these words to us, because it is he himself, the author of this text, who has paid homage to the Venerable Holy Beings. It's he who has composed the salutation and then the promise of composition and has set out the purpose. So not only should we receive the teachings as a direct instructions for us to put into practice in our own minds, but imagine that they are coming from the author himself.
The advice I've just given and will give now is how to approach Buddha's teachings. We should imagine receiving the teachings directly from the author, take them as personal instructions for how to develop our minds and to do so. And moreover, if you in your everyday life, you're watching something that inspires you, perhaps a great athlete or sports person doing something remarkable, the inspiration will arise, if only I could do that. If only I could emulate them, perform just like they do. And the wish will come
for one to be able to do that. So here, perhaps there as a young child, that inspiration would be followed with action. And that is the kind of approach we should take here. Here we should have that attitude of the young child, taking inspiration of someone that we see as remarkable, and say, if this is how a great Lama like Lama Tsongkhapa behaves, I should have them as my role model. I see him expressing great devotion to holy beings, to the Buddha, to Maitreya, Manjushi, and the lineage lamas such as Nagarjuna and Asanga, and doing so from a place of sincerity. I should strive to develop such a sincere approach so that I can emulate him, not just through a mere expression of words, but with a similar heart attitude. And this mind of devotion comes about in dependence on our own experience of developing the teachings in our heart, of receiving teachings and reflecting on their meditation based on knowledge. This will lead to a sincere mind of devotion, such as are being expressed here. Here then, we can recall the great kindness that our lamas have shown us, that they have brought, the great benefit they have brought into this life, and not just into our current life, but the stream of lives, the way they have benefited us, enabling us to create the causes to be here right now. Here we recall the tremendous kindness they have shown us, enabling us to cultivate the causes that have led to this result, to be able to experience these teachings. We can commit then to following the example of our lamas, as well as lamas such as Lama Tsongkhapa, seeing them as our role model, and committing to following the example that they set for us right now and from now until we achieve their same exalted state, the state of enlightenment. This then is how we should receive teachings. So the teachings, the mind of faith or aspiration, these are presented as being like a mother or the root, the mother from which good qualities grow, the root from which good qualities grow. Because to the extent that we can give rise to, maybe instead of using the word faith in English, which has understandings to it, but to the extent we can develop a strong conviction, a resounding belief in the validity of the teachings, that they, through cultivating them in our mind, we can achieve a state freed of suffering and pain. To the extent that we can develop faith such as this, this deep heartfelt conviction based on knowledge and experience, to that extent, we will apply our mind at all times to ensuring that the meaning of the teachings is forefront within us. And we will then easily be able to push aside all of our obligations and activities and make ever more time to be able to receive teachings and integrate them within us. And whilst we are engaging in our variety of activities, to keep what we are integrating in our mind at the forefront of our motivation behind our behavior and interaction with others. This is the purpose of generating faith of belief and conviction in the teachings, as well as in the way of life that is presented by our role models. Without this, we'll be overcome by reasons not to attend teachings, not to make the time to reflect on them, not to keep them in mind throughout our day. There will always be many reasons, other things drawing us in. But to the extent we develop this conviction, this heartfelt belief, we'll be able to move aside, push aside those other distractions. The importance of aspiration, of yearning, this is something that we all have experience of. In your own lives, you will have accomplished certain things that were difficult to do. And how did you accomplish them? At the outset, you had an aspiration to achieve a particular result. And that aspiration to achieve a particular result serve to motivate you to continue to persevere through any hardships and obstacles that you may have encountered to achieve your goal. So you'll have lived experience of this. And moreover, you see it in the world around you. If you enjoy sport, those great athletes that you see from a stadium or on television, you know how they train. You know the commitment that they have to reach the pinnacle of sporting excellence. They may have particular abilities that they from karmic imprints from past lives, but we know that that is insufficient. They also need the right mental attitude. They can't lie in and say, oh, today's a little cold, I'm not going to train. Or today's a little hot, I'm not going to train. They will not look at those obstacles and see them as overwhelming. Whatever obstacles they encounter, they will skillfully apply themselves to overcome them. This is how they become supreme athletes, world-class athletes. So we in our own lives, we have some experience of this, but we have also observed it in the world of sport and elsewhere. Here, in this, in the preliminaries to the main body of the text, we are being urged in many ways to develop our aspiration, our deep yearning to achieve a particular goal. And this is indispensable, because the stronger our yearning is to achieve a goal, the more easily we'll push aside obstacles and distractions. The weaker our yearning, easier those obstacles will overwhelm us, deceive us, and make us say, oh, I don't have time to meditate. I don't have time to listen to teachings. But as we develop this aspiration, we'll be able to see these distractions for what they are, as not being particularly important. And we will then be able to have much more free time to live our life in a balanced way. And in this way, we will be able to apply the teachings to our mind and come more quickly to experience their benefits. And as one experiences the benefits of applying the teachings, one will want to do so ever more. We will see that we'll be taking pleasure in receiving teachings, in engaging in meditation, transforming our minds. We will be experiencing the results, and thereby it will be so much easier to continue and to see distractions for what they are. But if our aspiration is weak, even when opportunities come our way, we won't take up those opportunities. If our aspiration is strong, when opportunities come our way, we'll embrace them with joy. And all other potential obstacles and distractions, we'll easily push aside. So therefore, to be able to successfully transform obstacles and enjoy the cultivation of the path in our continuum, we need to develop deep and sincere aspiration within us. And that is the purpose of this expansive part of the text now, of the preliminaries. So thank you. Then we can stop here for this morning. But but if there are questions, such as Cameron, then please do ask.
As Lama Dzogchen was turned to Lukpa, has Lama really been adopted by the other lineages at all? And if not, do they have their own version of such teaching?
So Lama Tsongkhapa was the founder of the Gelugpa tradition, and we know that he's composed these great texts on the Lamrim. Do the other Tibetan traditions have their own Lamrim texts? Do they have their own Lamrim texts? Yes, they do. All the Tibetan traditions have their own texts. For example, I was on Wednesday nights for the first, I think, 3 years I was here. We taught Words of My Perfect Teacher, which is by Pachwa Rinpoche from the Nyingma tradition. So all the varying Tibetan schools have their Lamrim texts they refer to. Yes. So it was said that aspiration is like a mother or a seed. So does that mean that we put those seeds into our alaya consciousness so that they can unconsciously serve to motivate us? Yeah? Okay.
Then he
So yes, very similar to what you said. So the faith or aspiration, then these are referred to as being like a mother or like a seed or a root, from which we generate joyous perseverance. To with joy, to persevere in our spiritual development. So by developing a deep and sincere aspiration, we are placing seeds on our continuum, which then will serve to push us forward with joy and without fatigue to overcome obstacles and continue in our spiritual development. So yes.
이
The purpose of faith, so the mother or the root again are used in relation to two words, faith and aspiration. So faith, we should understand the purpose of faith is to, based on a knowledge and experience, to develop a deep and sincere faith or trust in someone. So if you sincerely trust someone, you are open to them. You aren't guarded and shielded in front of them or distracted and disinterested, but rather one is open and receptive. So when one has a faith or deep, sincere trust in the teachings, in the Lama, then one is open to their guidance. And in this way, those same words of the teachings impact one's heart in a very different way. And from then, this trust, this faith, the mind of aspiration comes, this yearning to transform oneself. So when one has faith, those same words touch us, move us. And this then leads to the next mind, that of aspiration, a yearning. And that then leads to engagement, to activity, hearing, reflecting, and so forth.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.